Today we're looking at a paper titled Distilling Human-Aligned Privacy Sensitivity Assessment from Large Language Models. Central question, can we teach smaller efficient models to match human judgments about when text is privacy sensitive? That matters because getting this wrong affects user trust, legal compliance, content moderation, and product safety.
Quick technical context. Historically, we've used rule systems and supervised classifiers trained on human labels to detect sensitive data. Lately, people have started using large LLMs as teachers to generate labels at scale and then distill that knowledge into smaller models. The hope is cheaper, faster models that still reflect human judgments.
To be concrete, what do we mean by privacy sensitive? Give a few quick examples for listeners.
Think explicit identifiers, phone numbers, email addresses, medical details like a diagnosis shared in text, and doxing content that links a person to private data. Also contextual stuff. A seemingly innocuous phrase could be sensitive if paired with location or timeline.
And the failure modes, what keeps product teams up at night?
Two big ones. Overblocking, where valid user content gets hidden or slowed because the model is too conservative. And underblocking, where private information slips through and users get exposed. Both hurt trust. Overblocking frustrates users, and underblocking can cause actual harm or regulatory headaches.
Who's affected besides end users?
Platforms and moderators, obviously, because they must scale decisions. Regulators and legal teams care about compliance risk. Engineers and product managers deal with the operational costs. False positives generate review queues, and false negatives can trigger takedowns or even fines.
Mark, any real-world story that illustrates those consequences?
Sure. At one company I worked with, a strict regex-based filter flagged many customer support tickets as containing private data because numbers and dates were present. The result? Legitimate troubleshooting messages were throttled, support SLA blew up, and customers complained publicly. We later had an incident where a novel data leak wasn't caught because patterns didn't match the rules. Both errors cost time and trust.
That really sums up the stakes, balancing safety and usability. We'll dive into how the paper approaches teaching small models to make those judgments next. Jamie, walk us through the paper's main method. How do they use large LLMs to teach smaller models to assess privacy sensitivity?
The core idea is teacher-student distillation. They prompt a large, well-calibrated LLM to score or label text for privacy sensitivity at scale, creating a dataset. Then they train smaller classifiers on those labels, sometimes soft scores from the teacher, sometimes hard binary labels, so the small model learns the teacher's judgment without requiring the large model at inference time.
Soft scores versus hard labels. Why does that distinction matter in practice?
Soft labels give probability-like signals. The teacher might say 0.8 sensitive rather than just sensitive. That preserves uncertainty and nuance, which helps the student model learn calibrated decision boundaries. Hard labels collapse that nuance, which can make the student overconfident and harm recall or precision depending on thresholding.
Could you give a simple analogy for listeners?
Sure. Think of a senior editor grading articles. If they just mark accept or reject, you lose nuance. If they give a 1 to 10 score with comments, the junior editor learns subtler criteria. Soft labels are the scores and comments. Hard labels are the binary stamp.
What about the data itself? If the teacher is labeling noisy or biased samples, won't the student inherit those errors? How do they address label noise and dataset curation?
They discuss several strategies: sampling diverse domains, filtering low-confidence teacher outputs, and augmenting with human annotated validation sets. Ablations test sensitivity to label noise, showing that combining a small amount of human labels with many teacher labels improves alignment and robustness.
When you say diverse domains, what do you mean? Give a concrete example.
Include chat logs, social posts, support tickets, and forum content. A model trained only on support tickets might miss patterns common in social media, like slang or deliberate obfuscation. Cross-domain testing reveals whether the distilled model generalizes.
On the engineering side, what sizes are realistic for the student models? We need low latency for live moderation. How small can we go without losing the teacher's judgment?
You can get surprisingly good performance with compact architectures. Think tens to hundreds of millions of parameters instead of billions. especially with distillation and soft targets. There's a trade-off curve. Smaller models are faster, but need more careful calibration and thresholding to hit desired precision recall.
Calibration and thresholding. Can you unpack those briefly and why they're important for production decisions?
Calibration aligns model scores with real-world probabilities. Techniques include temperature scaling to smooth logits and ensemble averaging to reduce variance. Thresholds decide when to autoblock, flag for human review, or pass. Those thresholds are picked based on precision, recall trade-offs informed by business risk.
So in practice, we'd set a high threshold to autoblock only the highest confidence cases and lower thresholds to flag for review. But false positives still cost time. How do we monitor and control that?
Operational patterns help. Shadow testing to compare model outputs to current systems, canary rollouts, logging false positive and false negative rates, and keeping a human in the loop for borderline cases. Also, periodic retraining with logged human decisions reduces drift.
You mentioned evaluation metrics earlier. What do they report to claim a student matches human judgments?
Common metrics are accuracy and AUC for ranking, but alignment is mainly measured as agreement with human annotators, Cohen's kappa or Fleiss's kappa when multiple annotators are involved. They also report precision and recall at operational thresholds and show calibration curves. Higher kappa means the model aligns closer to humans beyond chance.
Any notable ablations or sensitivity tests in the paper, like prompt design for the teacher or domain shift experiments?
Yes, they test prompt variations and show the student is sensitive to the teacher's prompt design. They also run cross-domain evaluations. A model trained on teacher labels from one domain can lose performance on another. Ablations on the amount of human labels show diminishing returns, but clear benefits early on.
For non-technical listeners, what's the risk if prompts are poorly designed?
Poor prompts can bias the teacher toward over or under labeling certain patterns. That bias gets distilled into the student, so you might end up systematically misclassifying a whole category of content.
We also need to consider adversarial actors, people who obfuscate phone numbers or health details. Does distillation help, or does it make detection easier to bypass?
It's a continual arms race. Distilled models can learn patterns for obfuscation if the training data includes those examples. Defenses include augmentation with obfuscated variants, adversarial training, and monitoring for new obfuscation tactics. Still, distribution shift and cultural differences in privacy norms remain hard to solve automatically.
Quick recap, what are the practical mitigations teams should apply when adopting this approach?
Use soft labels where possible, include a human validation set, calibrate scores with temperature scaling or ensembles, test across domains, and deploy with human-in-the-loop fallbacks and robust logging. Also plan for continuous retraining to handle drift.
And operationally, I'd add, set conservative autoblock thresholds, route low-confidence cases to reviewers, run shadow canary deployments, and track metrics that matter to legal and product teams so you can roll back quickly if issues spike.
To wrap up, let's start with concrete impacts. Distilled privacy sensitivity models can increase moderation throughput, reduce the volume of content that humans must review, and help companies meet obligations under GDPR and CCPA by proactively flagging or removing high-risk items.
Practically speaking, a reliable small model can cut review queues by a large percent, think tens of percent in throughput, while keeping latency low for live systems. But the trade-offs matter. Overly aggressive blocking removes legitimate speech and amplifies bias, while underblocking creates real user harm and legal exposure. That means you need audit trails, explainability hooks, and continuous monitoring for drift.
From a research angle, the big open problems are robustness to adversarial masking and obfuscation, cultural and contextual calibration, so the model understands local privacy norms, and continual learning methods that let the model adapt without forgetting prior behavior. Also, human study design is crucial. Recruit diverse annotators, measure inter-annotator agreement, and validate models in realistic settings, not just on static test sets.
Quick synthesis. Use distillation to scale decisions, but pair models with operational safeguards and ongoing human validation. Now I'll ask for quick one-sentence takeaways. Mark your sentence.
Operationally, Treat distilled models as speed amplifiers, not replacements. Deploy with canary and shadow testing, log decisions and errors, and keep conservative autoblock thresholds with human review for borderline cases.
Technically, distillation is promising, but we must invest in robustness, cultural calibration, and continual human-in-the-loop evaluation to keep models aligned with real human judgments.
Provocative question to close. Can we ever trust automated privacy assessment without continuous human oversight?
Short answer, not fully. Automation reduces workload, but continuous human oversight and clear rollback paths are essential to catch edge cases and policy gaps.
I agree. Automation can handle scale, but trust requires ongoing measurement, diverse human feedback loops, and research into adaptive, transparent models that surface uncertainty to reviewers.
To finish, a quick reminder, the podcast is available on Spotify. Search for Ship It With AI. See you tomorrow for more AI news. Have a great day.